part two of this 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The theme this week is death. Well, that's good, isn't it? I mean, if there's one thing we're sure of, then we're going to die, unless the Lord comes back and transforms us, but for most of us, we'll probably die. And it's amazing how antiseptic our culture is. There are newspapers which never use the word death. Isn't it going to happen? You know, what are we doing? You see, when faith is strong, death is thought about. When faith is not strong, you remember perhaps Brideshead Revisited, I think it is. The first chapter is all about the cemetery and the graveyard and people just ignoring, you know, death. Or the other, you know, just grin and bear it, just angry against God that there's death and you're going to die. No. Death is now an organic part of divine providence. It's part of our going to meet God. You know, I had a friend, I got to get to my text, but I want to tell you about this. An Irish Franciscan. And he was saying, you know, I had a heart attack. And there I was, like asleep, kind of in a coma. I know what that's like. I had that too. And when I came to, I said to myself, I wasn't thinking about God at all. And he was a very holy man. He said, I'm going to practice. So every night as he was going off to sleep, he kept saying, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. So when he did die, that's what he was saying. He practiced. That was the smartest thing I ever heard. You know? Somebody says, I got to get ready. Okay. So this text is from the Book of Wisdom, chapter 1, and we have verses 13 to 15, and then we go to chapter 2, verses 23 to 24. In other words, this is the Book of Wisdom, which is written in Greek, and it's got a Greek flavor to it, but it's thoroughly biblical and thoroughly, in that sense, Hebrew. It's not the Greek mind. So the text goes, you see, because God did not make death, nor does he rejoice in the destruction of the living. For he fashioned all things that they might have being, and the creatures of the world are wholesome. There's another translation of that that I'll probably find later. But anyway, this is good enough for now. You see, God did not make death. He doesn't rejoice in the destruction of the living. How could he? Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. Remember? He knew he was going to raise him in 10 minutes, but he wept. The tragedy of death, which is the tragedy of sin. And that tragedy has been changed because Jesus Christ passed this way. When we die, we're there in communion with Jesus, who died. And so, it's important that we don't forget that. If you can remember to do what my friend Marius, Father Marius, used to do, practice. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. So when you die, you're going to be saying, Jesus, I love you. Wouldn't that be great? The first thing that we have here is, God did not make death, nor does he rejoice in the destruction of the living. For he fashioned all things that they might have being, and the creatures of the world are wholesome. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that optimistic? And this, as I just said, this is written in Greek. This is, it's very Semitic, but it's not totally Semitic. You know what I mean? It's the language is different. Greek is different than them. I'm going to try to find, because I want to read the few verses that go ahead of it. I'm not going to find it. You see, the Hebrew Bible is in one order than the Greek Bible. The English Bibles are all in another order. And so you got to remember which Bible you're in. See, the Jewish Bible goes the law, the prophets, the writings. The prophets are the former prophets, the books of Kings and Chronicles and so forth. The latter prophets, and those are the big ones and the little ones. See? And the book of the prophets is all 12 are considered one book. And now the commentators who look at that closely are saying, this has been edited in such a way that it ties these different prophets from different ages now make one concerted, multifaceted statement. Well, we're going to do wisdom right now. This text starts, you see, do not court death by the errors of your ways, nor invite destruction through your own actions. This is the Jerusalem Bible. Death was not God's doing. He takes no pleasure in the extinction of the living. To be, for this he created all. The world's, created things have health in them. This is the biblical view, you see? Even when, you get into your spiritual discipline, it's not an escape from matter. Luckily, because we can't escape anyway. You see? It's understanding. It's good. And the mystery of death, as we're going to see in just a minute, happens through, as the text says here, you see, it was the envy of the devil. And we'll go back and look at that, you see. He fashioned all things that they might have being, you see. And the creatures of the world are wholesome. There is not a destructive drug among them, nor any domain of Hades on earth. God made this world good, and with all the sin and all the mess, it's still good. Who understands that best? Those who revel in the world and never look up? No. Those who love God and serve Him. You've all met, look at families, huh? You've all met families. 10, 12 kids, and their goal is God, but they love this world. And they take care of this world. And they take care of their neighbors. You see, even in the world of sin, there is beauty by the grace of Christ. St. John Chrysostom used to say, thanks be to God that by the grace of God there is so much goodness in man. And so we're reading about death, and this beautiful text is preparing us to understand the gospel, which is the raising of the daughter of Jairus. So there is nothing, wrong with what's been created. In fact, righteousness is undying. We'll come back to that. Righteousness is undying. You can't kill holiness. See? For God formed us to be imperishable. The image of His own nature, He made us all. But by the envy of the devil, death entered the world. And those who are allied with Him experience it. He doesn't say that the just die. They do. But they die differently because death is separation from God. Our bodies are under the weight of that ever since the original sin, which is what he's talking about. The devil was jealous. He's in hell. And these little things made out of matter are walking around with God's life in them. I've got to get it out of them. And he tricked them. And so, it's still with us. Is that the end of the story? Oh, no. The end of the story, God came himself and died and broke the back on death. That's the end of death. You see? If you've ever been around the bedside of a holy person, you see this, huh? With all the weakness of the body and finally death, there's a radiance I think I told you about my great-grandfather, didn't I? At 105, he walked to church every day, 2 miles back and forth, 2 miles out, 2 miles back. He'd been a postman all his life, so he had a nice strong body anyway, but he was 105. And he came home from church one day, walked into the house and said, "Today the Lord is going to call me." He walked upstairs, lay down in his bed, and died. That's grace overcoming a lot of the, what would be the alienation of death. Huh? Now, the next text, which is in chapter 2 now, "For God did not make death. He takes no pleasure in destroying the living to exist. For this he created all things." He wants being. He wants life. He wants dance. He wants joy. "The creatures of the world have health in them. In them there is no fatal poison. And Hades has no power over the world." Yeah, we'll die, but we'll rise again. And when we rise, we will have an eternal existence, physical existence. And what's going to cause this physical existence to exist forever? The very life of the Trinity in the very depth of our being. It's the Trinitarian life that keeps us alive and joyful for eternity. Isn't that beautiful? And so, you see, Hades has no power over the world, for uprightness is immortal. Understand? You see? And so then we go on. God created human beings to be immortal. He made them as an image of his own nature. Death came into the world through the devil's envy, and those who belong to him find to their cost, as those. You know, if you're hanging around with the devil, trying to get wealthy and power and stuff like that, you know, you already sold him your soul. Now there's always that last moment. I remember a friend of mine telling me she had a vision. There was this guy, you know, going from life to death, and the demons were already hanging on to him. They're going to drag him to hell. And Jesus came and said, "Look, see those people over there? They're all in heaven. They're waiting for you. Just accept me, and you'll be there." And the guy spit in his face. And they dragged him off to hell forever. Nobody goes to hell unless they want to. But we can get so hard that we want to. And that's why we try to pray and obey the Lord and trust him, because he's teaching us how to live a real life. And that's the text from the Book of Wisdom. See? The psalm, we only have a few minutes for it, but "I praise you, Lord, for you raised me up." It says, huh? You raised me up from Sheol. You let me live from going down to the pit. This man was very close to death. "Sing praise to the Lord, you faithful. Give praise, give thanks to the holy mystery. For his anger lasts but a moment, his favor a lifetime." That's the promise. Seek the Lord. Seek to please the Lord. Do like my friend Marius. Practice saying, "I love you, Lord," when you're sleeping. And one day, you'll die and wake up in the arms of the Father. Amen. Mm-hmm.